G'day ladies and gents, and welcome back to another edition of Supercoach Edge, and of course another edition of Damo's Team Talk. Coming out of this time, round 7G, with the season is going quicker than I anticipated, really, especially considering that we had a round zero to contend with this season. But it was an interesting week, and I'll get into that in a moment. But first and foremost, if you haven't subscribed to our channel on here on YouTube, if you are watching us here, make sure to give us a like and subscribe. And if you are listening to this episode via audio podcast, if you can give us a rating on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, or wherever you're listening to us, that would be absolutely fantastic, because it does bump up our podcast in terms of, I guess, the SEO, the searchability of all things on the podcast side of things. So as I said, if you can give us a rating, you can give us a 4 or 5 stars. You can give us more than that if you want. You can give it a go, but don't know if it will let you, but that would be absolutely fantastic. So let's, without further ado, jump across and check out how we went this week. So ended up finishing with a score of 2,323. A lot of twos, a lot of threes there. And I thought it might have boded well for me, been around about par or a little bit over. It was just a little bit under par because ended up sliding.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
In rank to the tune of 405 spots, so not much, but I just prefer to see that that green arrow, with the rank going upwards. But now I sit ranked 4,423, so yeah, is what it is. I'm kind of kicking myself because I was considering very, very late bringing in Jordan Sweet. Ended up punting D'Ambrosio. I'll get into my trades in a moment as to what I did, but I was thinking of bringing in Sweet and having Sweet at R2 and then swinging Jackson forward, and that would have netted me quite a few points. And that would have come at the expense of Sharp from Frio, who I backed in stupidly, and I thought he might have been able to score around about what his break even was, which is around about 70-odd. mid-70s, and he was unable to do that and punched out a pretty ordinary score. So I'll just jump into my team here so you can see how it looks if you're watching us here on YouTube. And it was a shit show, an absolute shit show. This is how it looked. So Sharp ended up punching out a 44, and if I was to go down the sweet route, that would have given me a difference in score. So Sweet scored 136. It's almost a 100-point turnaround, really. What's that, 8 points? So, 92, is that right? Sliding doors moments, and just didn't bode well for me. So, 92 was the difference there. So, it is what it is. You can't change things. So, yeah, this is my team, how it looks, how it fared. So we'll just quickly roll through line by line. So Harry Sheasel, 108. Again, strength to strength is this man. He's an absolute gun. Nicky Dacos finally returning to form with 128 and did so in style now because he's gone back-to-back weeks, 133 and 128, and gone up in price over that time, over 25 grand. So if you haven't got him, if you were someone that strategically punted him, waiting for him to drop in price, now is the time to jump back on him. Faces the arch rival in my mob, at the Baggers, and then West Coast in round 9. So make sure you jump on him and prioritise bringing him in if you don't have him. Nicky Martin, 124. Again, just so happy that I kept this bloke, what, 3-4 weeks ago. Just racks up the pill at will, if you will. And he does because, yeah, ever since round 3, he's gone 136, 133, 100, 114. And a 124 and faces West Coast this weekend. So looking at Supercoach Plus, he actually might go up in price. I mean, they've got him scoring 140, 125, 147, 141. So yeah, they're projecting him to go up another 60, close to 70 grand over the next 3 weeks, which I don't think will happen, but that will have him right up there at 648. 100, round about that price of what Sheasel is at the moment. But if you haven't got him in your team, I think you should try and get this man in, prioritize him, but he is at that higher price point. He is actually still lower than the likes of a Luke Ryan and Houston as well. So in terms of defenders, I'd be prioritizing him if you don't have him ahead of those other guys, who Luke Ryan should drop even more in price, and he was very, very lucky to score over 100 on the weekend, fair dinkum. He wasn't up to scratch. He wasn't getting, you know, his usual intercept marks, which is where he gets a bulk of the points. They were just chippy, you know, chip mark, kick, all that sort of stuff. And he still was able to score well. And I think he only scored about 10 points less than Fife or something, which is absolutely ridiculous considering that Fife was arguably, you know, B-O-G. But let's keep rolling on with things. So Wanganeen Millera, again, 82. This guy was the trade-in via Hayden Young. Kicking myself, yes. Ever since then, he's gone 114, 93, 69, and 82. However, he does face North and Hawthorn over his next 2 weeks. So hopefully he can turn around his form, faces North at Marvel. But, I mean, at this point, really, I just want him to score 100. If he can sort of go around about that mark, I'll be happy enough with it, and probably will be at this case be a, you know, another wasted trade with a luxury upgrade down the line. So hopefully you can just keep punching out, you know, scores close to 100 or, you know, just over, and I'll be happy with that. Zachy Williams, he got a stay of execution actually very, very late because I was going to trade him out ahead of Massimo D'Ambrosio. Of course, D'Ambrosio was rested this round. And, of course, that meant that Williams stayed in my team. Probably a good thing as well because he scored a 78, eclipsed his break even, which is around, I think it was high 60s or thereabouts, and ended up going up 7.2K. But his break even has risen off the back of that to an 80. So, again, probably right for the ping. A lot of people, as you can see there, with the ownership percentage dropping between round 6 and 7, from 58.5% to 35.7%. So pretty much a bulk of his owners jumped off. Not the majority as yet, but yeah, I do think after this round, a lot of people will be moving him on. But keep in mind as well that the only reason why his break-even has again gone up is that he scored that 33 when he went off the round prior against the Giants. And that's going to actually be in his, obviously, scoring cycle for another week. But then after that, heading into round 9, that is going to fall out of his price cycle. So he could potentially then jump up in price yet again and re-energize his cash generation. So just keep that in mind. So it's not a must trade, but if it does allow you to use Williams as a stepping stone to a genuine primo, I would strongly look at it. Of course, I had Zach Reed from the Dons not playing. He was my VC loophole, which, as you can see here, Maxi Gorn was again going maxi. Went bananas with 162 as my VC. I promptly locked that in. And the other thing that didn't really help me this week, I've just got to kind of have perspective. And for those of you out there as well who had to hold Stewart on your bench, I mean, just think of that. Like, I was able to sort of, you know, hold rankish thereabouts, dropped a little bit. But, I mean, to do so with, you know, a primo on the bench in Stewart having been concussed last week. There is upside there because it does mean that everyone else virtually had a primo starting ahead of you. So I'm looking at it at that from that perspective, and hopefully it does mean that next week when I or next round when I get Stewart back in my team, it means I play one less rookie and can obviously use Reed as a bit of a loophole as well, which I'll get into a little bit later. Closey, he was my guy that I played on field, 65, thereabouts, not too bad. Obviously not reaching the heights of what he has produced in recent weeks, but just happy enough that he's making cash at this point, really. Let's move on to the midfield. So Caleb Sarong, 140. So busted out that nice score that I was just longing for as a non-owner only a couple of weeks ago. Obviously picked him up last week against the West Coast Eagles, and I thought he was going to have a nice score there. Didn't, only score the 117, but a 140 against the Dogs. I did talk about this time last week in last week's Team Talk video, and I did say that part of the reason why I got Sarong into my team was the fact that he faced West Coast, the Dogs, who at that stage were giving up a little bit of points to opposition mids. Not much, but I did see from the game style of the Dogs that there was potentially a soft underbelly there that Sarong could make the most of. And then, of course, Richmond this coming round in round 8, who are giving away bulk points to opposition mids, which is strange to say considering that Petrarca didn't really capitalise on the weekend, but that has worked into our favour because he's one of our targets in weeks to come, is the track. But just with Sarong, 140-odd, he's third highest score for the season and the fourth score that he's gone 125-plus. And your fourth score 125-plus and his third score 140-plus. So showing that ceiling that we really do like. And for those people that were holding on him, waiting for him to potentially drop in more cash, didn't happen because he eclipsed his break-even with that big score of 140 and now has a break-even of 98. So his price has halted back down to 621, which is virtually what his starting price was. So he went up in cash a little bit on the weekend. So if you don't have him, just look at it from the perspective like I did, where you're still getting him at a bargain price compared to those people that paid up an extra 36.7k when he went up with his first price rise off the back of scores of 170, 141, and 125. So yeah, that's very, very happy with that. Let's move on to Bont. Had a down game. Mr. Sido in front of goal. The works. So, yeah, I mean, he's dropping in cash, but it is what it is. He's a primo. He's a gun. He'll turn it around, which he probably should this weekend against the Hawks. So he's dropped down to 614 from a starting price of 724. And this is kind of what we were talking about, Liam and I, in the preseason, when we're talking about, you know, do you fade Bont? Because inevitably he's going to drop down in price being at such a high price point. And we both backed him in, looked pretty good, like a good decision in the first couple of rounds when he scored a 126 and 136. But he's just progressively gone down. And it really hasn't helped with that down game against the Dons where he scored a 73. And that's what I'm always talking about here when I say try not to reach for the guys, for the primos that have increased in price, because chances are, no matter how good they are, they're going to have a down game, and all they need is one down game. And if they have two in succession or two in that three-game price cycle, they're going to plummet down even further, which you can see there with Bont here. Scored that 73 in round 5, then scored a 125, which is sort of back to form in round 6, still dropped 18.5k then, and a 33.2 against the Dons. Then in round 7, just gone, he obviously went down another 32k, off that score of 102. So it has seen his average decrease. It actually fluctuated from 117 to 118.5 to down to 116.1 after the weekend. And over that time, he's actually lost, 80K roughly. So yeah, it's something you really need to keep in mind in finding the temptation to jump on a player off the back of them scoring well, because there's that recency bias that can really see you paying more money up front than what you do if you're a little bit patient, go for another value option and go for that player down the line when they do eventually and inevitably, which I've just made up my own word there, kind of works. But yeah, whilst they inevitably, I guess, decrease in value. Sammy Walsh, 104, jumped on him. He was my recruit. I was sort of weighing up between him and Dawson. Dawson obviously smashed out a 120-odd. Is what it is. I think Walshy will be a top eight mid thereabouts. We'll be scoring similarly to Dawson, I think, anyway. But yeah, it was just one of those things. Still went up 32k as well. Actually went up, his ownership has gone up to the tune of, so he started at 1.2%, then went to 13.1%, and then went up 38%. So yeah, he's a popular option, and for good reason. So he faces, who does he face? Collingwood this weekend, who he kind of scores not too bad against. 116 he averages against them, which is his highest average that he has against any opposition team. So next up we have Jack Steele, and he's been a disappointment, really. And it's deja vu for me, because this happened last year when I brought him in and he went to shit. His past 2 weeks he's gone 84 and a 70. And the most alarming thing was the fact that this is the first time where he went into the game with a massive amount of strapping on his knee. There was a picture as well of him at training talking to physios and the conditioning staff about, you know, his knee and his leg. And he wasn't moving the same way as what he was in previous weeks. So this is really going to hurt if he doesn't end up becoming that top eight mid that we thought he all would. But yeah, I mean, the Saints, like, he only had 15 disposals. He had 9 tackles, which kind of helped his score. But yeah, I'll have to have a look actually in terms of his disposal efficiency, because I think that might have been something that held him back. I just want to see as well with Steele as to whether or not he had the usual amount of CBAs. Yeah, virtually 81%. So that's actually his lowest that he's had across the season. But, you know, still a sizable amount for him to, you know, do what he does best, really. Disposal efficiency actually, yeah, was pretty shit, 60%. So that's probably a big reason why he didn't score as well. Obviously, only had 15 disposals as well. Yeah, so it's obviously going to hold you back, given that. I'll just have a quick look to see if he had many clangers via Fan Footy. And he ended up having only 3. So, yeah, largely it was his lack of meters gained, which was pretty low, 182. And, yeah, his disposal efficiency was 60%, which ranked right down there in the bottom 5 for St Kilda. So, yeah, just fingers crossed he can turn it around, and it was just an off game for him. But speaking about guys that have turned things around, the running man, the Took Train Miller, 149, and again, I've been a big advocate of this guy. I've seen so many people on Twitter, even Tim Mitchell as well, has written him off and said, I don't know if he's going to be a top 8 mid, but as you can see there, he's the 7th ranked mid overall. So yeah, he, to me, is someone that is a keeper, and I'm happy enough to have in my team. So yeah, scored that 149 out of the box game, was his highest score for the season thus far. And considering that his other scores have been 116, 137, 115, 89, 133, 88, and 149, by and large, he actually hasn't been too bad. And if those are his, I guess, lower scores, his floor, with scores of, you know, high 80s, 90s, I'll happily take that every single day of the week. So, yep, happy with Tookie Miller. And, yeah, obviously padding his stats there with some sizable numbers when it comes to Cuddles. Tom Green, again, another guy that bounced back, 159. I did see a few people on Twitter punting him just because I was doubting him, in a bit of a slump. 72, 82 his past 2 games. Then on the weekend, 159. Really turned it around. And you can see there was actually 2% of owners that actually punted him over the past couple of weeks. So back in your primos this time of year is an absolute gun. And I said it was going to happen. There was one guy, one of our regulars, Skits Fritz, if you're watching us, mate. He thankfully didn't do it, but he was considering getting rid of Tom Green and, you know, jumping back on him when he decreases in a bit more of value, which won't happen. Because now, albeit, yes, he has gone down about close to 60K, his break-even is now 91. So, yeah, he's got a big ceiling and, yeah, got to back him in. Matty Roberts scored an 80. Again, this guy, he's gone up 252.8K. Incredible stuff. And yeah, he is doing all the right things, really. You know, he scored 76, 69, 94, 98, 80, 117 and 80. So couldn't be any more consistent and really is doing the job for us as a playing cash cow. So I love that for him and for us. Now, Jeremy Sharp, as I said, 44, didn't hit his break even, lost 13K, but has still made us overall 200.8K. So more than the average cash cow. And I think, you know, I always say that 100K is on the mark, 150 is beyond expectations, and 200 is well far and beyond expectations and an absolute luxury to have, because it kind of makes up and bridges that gap in difference, you know, with those cash cows that we've had to move on a bit earlier, like a Tom Berry or a McCurch or a Sanders. So it does, by and large, average out. When you look, you know, in isolation when it comes to these rookies, when you're trading them out, you obviously see how much you're getting in return, but we want to see a high enough average of cash made across all of our rookies that we are, or cash cows that we are cashing in. So with him, his break even now is a 75, so similar-ish to what it was on the weekend. Faces Richmond, though, who, as we know, give up bulk points to midfielders. I just don't know, you know, with his scoring here, he has really only had the one out-of-the-box game, which is round four against Carlton, 126. Every other game has been 70, 63, 71, 54, 67, and a 44, which was his lowest for the season thus far. So I can see him, again, scoring between a, you know, anywhere between a 50 to a maybe a 70. Could have another out-of-the-box game if he does. Incredible. But, yeah, it's for me, I think, at this point where he's kind of reached the pinnacle of you know, what he's able to generate in cash for us. So he's probably going to be on the outer for me. On the bench, we have Graham, Will Graham from Gold Coast, 87. Hurts as well when you see a big score, marooned on the bench, and you have guys like Sharp scoring a 44. But again, at this point of the season, we're just happy for these guys to be making us money. If they're on field, sure, it's a bonus, but yeah, for them to make cash is first and foremost what they're in our team for. So has a break even of negative six going into round eight and will make us another 50K at least. So he's already made us at the moment 130.2K. Could push towards that 200K and be a nice option, but punching out some nice scores as well. 67, 91, 61, and 87. So as a rookie, is someone that you can field with a little bit of confidence, potentially, depending on matchup. Jai Clark, thankfully, was dropped. Meant that his break-even is still quite high. I think from memory, he is 75. It wasn't really serving us any use as a cash cow, being sub week after week and no doubt just losing the cash that he has made over the journey. So, yeah, happy enough with that. Might be a nice little loophole as well going forward. McAuliffe, he was unfortunately dropped, which I thought was a bit of a surprise. Was banking on when Presti comes back into him, for him to always, you know, get injured as he always does a week or two after returning. But in this case, it was poor Hopper. Did a hamstring, will be out for a little while. So you'd think the likes of a Caden McAuliffe should get another crack. So went early on him, but was banking on him making his way back into the team if he was dropped, and I think that will happen, fingers crossed. In the rucks, we had Gorn, as I said, 162, went absolute bananas. Maxi, absolute gun. Lukey Jackson, 76. I see some people worried about him, and if I scroll down to the most traded out of those players in my team at the moment, he's actually the fifth most traded out, which I think is a bit silly. You've got to contextualize it with, sure, he's not going to be an R1 or an R2 ruckman with Darcy in the team, but what he's scoring at the moment and what he's averaging is, in my eyes, I think, and it will come to pass, that Jackson's going to be a top six forward. So if you're trading in a top six forward, it just doesn't really make any sense. And then I can see what's going to happen. Like, you know, Hodor / Shrek Darcy is going to go down with some sort of niggle at some stage, you know, in weeks to come, later in the season. And those people that traded out Jackson won't be able to have the luxury of seeing him score as well as what he did in the first month or so of the season. So still rather consistent anyway, without getting those hit out stats. You know, when he was the number one ruck, like the past couple of weeks, he's had a 90 and a 76. But what has propped him up is his forward craft, which he scored over his past 2 weeks, four goals, three, in fact. So there's that. And there's the bonus points as well that he's getting with hit outs when he's no doubt taking the, you know, relief ruck position when Darcy is resting, and likewise as well when the ball's in the forward half and Jackson's there and can contest. So, yeah, I think for me, he is a definite keeper, and I don't really see the reason to get rid of him as yet. Probably more of a luxury upgrade later in the season more than anything. Let's move into our forward line, and of course, Isaac Heaney, 120. This bloke just will not stop. He will not stop. However, even though he went up 2.5k on the weekend to now have gone up 178.5k in total, his break-even is a 161. So this is probably a welcome sight for those non-owners, because it does mean that there's a chance that he may actually drop in price. So yeah, you're going to be rubbing your hands together, but his ownership has just gone up over the weeks. Yeah, he's kind of had his favourable matchups now. That's the only downside. Faces the Giants this coming round. But yeah, he's an F1 at this moment. So, you know, you need him in your team. Sammy Flanders, 105, was kind of had his lunch cut, you could probably say, by the rat in Rory Atkins, who I have no idea how he's still getting games. But still scored okay, still turned up 105, which he has done in every single game thus far. So it's that consistency that we love with Sammy Flanders. Good old Ned. Tom Powell is another guy that people are worried about with a 49. The one thing, I guess, that worries me more than anything is I think he actually lost CBAs. So obviously comes back to role, which is what I'm always talking about here. So if there's a role change, there is reason to potentially move him on, which you can see here. So he actually has dropped. So his CBAs for the season have been 76%, 93%, 89%, 77, 79, 77. Then on the weekend dropped down to 14%, would you believe? But you've got to look at the reason why this dropped down. So who else was playing that hasn't been playing in recent weeks when he actually had good CBA numbers? So obviously Will Phillips is one, 57 and then 37% on the weekend. And I think there's probably reason enough for him to potentially get dropped. But Jai Simpkins, the other one as well. So his CBAs were 54% on the weekend and 60% the week prior. And then there's other guys as well, like Paul Curtis got a run through the middle, 26%. Harry Sheezel as well, 14%. Biggie Nguyen as a relief ruck, no doubt. But I think, you know, if we subtract Paul Curtis there, that's going to put him up still around about the 40% mark. And if Will Phillips goes, there's 37% CBAs from Phillips that needs to be distributed elsewhere, which I think in this case would go to Tom Powell. So I don't think it's the end of the world as yet with Tom Powell. Again, I still am bullish that he is a top six scoring forward. And even so, even though he's had a low game, yes, there is a correlation there. It's to do with his lack of CBAs. Every other game where he scored well enough and he's still averaging okay, you know, it comes down to him getting CBAs. So I think I'm going to keep him at this present time. I'm going to be watching the team sheets very, very closely because it is role dependent. But if you were to trade him out, who are you trading him to? I mean, there's Jack McRae, but even then, his scoring isn't like what it has been in recent years. So yeah, I'm not too worried. I am worried in isolation, but not worried if it means that Will Phillips is out of the side and he gets more CBAs. Rounding us out here is Sam Darcy in 88, an absolute gun, has re-energized his cash generation. Went up 25.7K on the weekend to now sit priced at 310.6 with an overall appreciation in price of 186.7K. Faces Hawthorn and then Richmond, so might make us at least another 30 to 40K, you'd think, and max out around about that 350 range, unless he goes bananas again with another big game. But being relatively consistent as well, that's the one thing I love about him. 109, 54, 84, 82, 49, obviously a down game, but then bounce back with that 88 on the weekend. So making us bulk coin and will be a very, very nice stepping stone to a genuine keeper. Darcy Wilson was another guy, 88, copying Darcy there with that score. Went up 37.8K to now have made us 144K in total. So another cash cow that has exceeded expectations, which is fantastic, and could potentially go up another 25 to 30K on the weekend because his break-even is now a big fat donut, a big zero. So over the next couple of weeks should make us some coin, considering, of course, as well, that helps faces North and Hawthorn. His teammate in Hugo Garcia, the good old Hugo, wasn't given much of it, Hugo, because he only played 69 minutes and, only scored that 40, which was hurtful. I played him because I thought he might have a bit of a solid floor, scoring floor, with the six tackles like he had on the weekend. Only seven disposals, and that was pretty much that. So, ideally, probably don't want to be running him on field if we can help it, which is going to help this week, considering that we should get Harley Reid back into our team. And speaking of which, Harley Reid, so he kicked up his feet. West Coast, really weirdly enough, after his career best game, gave him the week off. So he was there, a bit of a loophole option there, which I could have used on Cadman and opted to roll the dice on both Wilson and Garcia. Those are the two guys plus Cadman that was kind of weighing up. Like, I have to play two of these three. I missed out on 13 points max there, but, you know, playing Garcia over Cadman. But it is what it is. And that's virtually our team and how it looks, how it fared coming out of the round. So without further ado, let's just quickly do the optimize, which I'm not a massive fan of, but we'll do it for now because it always gives you, and I have no idea why, it gives you two emergencies in the midfield. Stupid. And of course, Tom Stewart should be making a return, so we will switch him back on field. And what we can see here first up is if we keep Zach Williams, we can actually put the emergency on him and use Zach Reid as our loophole option. So that is probably something that we're going to be using, considering that Reid plays in, Saturday night? Williams plays the second game of the round on Friday, so could potentially do that. But as you can see, my team, I guess the big worry is I've got Sharp. I'm still fielding. Closey, I think a lot of people are fielding him anyway, so that kind of negates any difference, any risk. And Wilson's scoring well enough anyway at the moment as well in the forward line. So
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Not too unhappy overall. Cash cows are making cash as well. Stepping stones that are higher priced in Roberts, Williams, Darcy, Wilson, Cadman. All these guys are still making his cash. Graham as well. Closey. In a decent enough position here. But obviously, first and foremost, let's talk about trades. So the first big obvious one is that man. All it took is one look, one glance, and I was ready for some romance with that sweet, sweet man himself. So let's bring him in. So the way to do this with Jordan Sweet is we're going to shift. So we need to work out who we're trading out. And I think at this case, it'd have to be Sharp. And it does mean that we have to shift a Wilson potentially into our midfield. So we'll just do this, see how it looks. So Wilson into the mids, Sharp goes into the forwards, and Jackson switches from the rucks into the forwards. So you can see what I've done there visually if you're tuning in via YouTube. But it's virtually, if you're listening to us on the podcast, I've just done DPP switches in the trade window. We will be going Sharp down to the man himself. So that's actually going to give me, 164? $166,000 in the bank extra, which is going to be very nice. Gives our bank total, that comes to $236.1. So we'll just complete this trade in isolation. And that's how our team looks at the moment. So that is a definitive trade I think everyone should be making in terms of getting Sweet into your team if you can. If Sweet's in your R3, do that as well. But I think in my case, I was always actually aiming for this round to be when English comes into my team. So it's a bit of a an interesting one here because I've opted to hold off for a little bit because Sweet's, you know, popped up. But what it means that if I was to bring English into my team and Sweet's at R3, I'm not able to really capitalize on Sweet's nice scoring as the number one ruck for Port. And Sweet is going to be my Sweet surrender for those of you who checked out and saw our meme. If you haven't, check it out on Twitter, Facebook. Made a little bit of a meme for the old Wet, Wet, Wet band with their song, good old Sweet Surrender. So at this point in time, I'm actually unsure of what to do. Very rarely am I left stumped, but by and large, I'm relatively happy. I'm not going to be sidewaysing any primos like Steele, like Jackson, back them in. And, you know, with that money, there's a couple of options here. So there's obviously, you know, bring in Sweet and then bring in another cash cows in the form of maybe a Rogers who scored well enough on the weekend, Riley Garcia as well. Rogers scored a 98, Riley Garcia from the Dogs 64. With Garcia, Bevo actually in his presser said words to the effect that if Liber was playing, there might have been a different outcome for Riley Garcia, potentially meaning that he might have been subbed out or at least the starting sub. So with Garcia, the one thing that I'm looking at, and again, it comes down to roll. So let's have a look at CBAs because he did get a few last week. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong Garcia yet again. We're going to look at the Bulldogs Garcia. So, yeah, 21% his first game and then only 4% on the weekend, which is interesting because Liverpool wasn't playing. So I don't know what Bevo's getting out there, but it does give me a little bit of the heebie-jeebies. However, Garcia is traditionally a small forward. Waitman obviously hyperextended his elbow on the weekend and will be out for quite a while. So you'd think there is a role for Garcia. Does someone else get a crack over him? Who knows? It's Bevo, potentially. But he scored an 82 and a 64. And what it does mean is that his break even now is a negative 74. So if he scores a 45, which according to Supercoach Plus here, if he scores a 45 and a 46 over his next two games, he's going to go up 77, 78K. So not too bad. But the worry is that he just needs to play. And it's his job security that is the most worrisome, I think, at this point. And obviously Bevo being his coach as well is another worry. But the Dogs actually play the Hawks and the Tigs over the next 2 weeks. So favorable matchups, which I do like. The other option is, of course, going for Jake Rogers. He is priced 23.6K more expensive than Garcia, which I'm not a fan of. Lower break even, but scored a 98. Scored a 28 in his first game, which he wasn't a sub, I think, from memory. No, he wasn't, because look at the minutes there played. So I think he was kind of a little bit fortunate. Had 22 disposals and kicked a goal. But he is, again, a forward pocket type player, Jake Rogers. And if he scores a 41 in comparison, will go up 70K and the average next two. And then Gold Coast, they play Brisbane and North. So a bit of a mixed bag there compared to Riley Garcia. With Garcia, we probably only need him for, 2-3 weeks. If he can score us 100K over the next 3 weeks, that would be absolutely ideal. He only needs a spike game in one of those, 2 or 3 games coming up for him, Riley Garcia, that is, to really make us that quick cash. So, Supercoach Plus, have him at 45. If you can score a 64, that is, almost 20 points above what they're projecting him for. And, he should go up another, potentially another 5K or thereabouts, just guessing. So it does mean that, it could push closer towards that 90K mark over the next couple of weeks compared to what they originally have projected at. So I don't mind the old pump and dump if we can do that with this bloke here. Yeah, it's something I need to factor in. So the dilemma here is to obviously go for Sweet. Do I go for a Garcia or a Rogers and leave it at that? So I do a double downgrade virtually. And you know, go into next week with quite a bit of cash to then bring in, you know, potentially two big primos? Or do I go, you know, hedge my bets, I guess, in a sense, and use the boost to go two downgrades and then use the other boost to bring in, you know, a genuine primo of the like? You know, I'll just open up my watch list here so you can see who I've got. But it'd be someone like a, you know, a Jordan Dawson, Petrarca, Luke Ryan, Zach Butters, Houston. These are the main guys that I kind of want to bring in. And I can do that this week if I really, really want to. But all these guys that I'm looking at, apart from a Dawson like Petrarca, he went down quite a bit of cash, 29.8K on the weekend, has a break even of 188, and could potentially lose as much as what they're projecting here on Supercoach Plus, around about 30K. And yeah, he's probably best waiting a week for. And then he's prime or right for the picking against Carlton next week, and then West Coast as well the week after. So it does open things up for him. Has scored pretty crappy in the past couple of weeks. Unfortunate for those people that jumped on. And he has dropped 60K or thereabouts over the past couple. So he is someone to keep in mind. Do I potentially forego, you know, some extra cash in the bank by going for him now instead of picking him up at a bargain price next week and hoping that he plays well? So to sort of bank those points if you can. I don't know if I will. Luke Ryan's another one. Again, his break-even's 165. Should go down around about 20K. You'd think 15, 20K. Is it worth holding out for? Maybe. Plays Richmond, though. It's a tough one. Zach Butters is another one. See, it's kind of lined out, worked out well with a lot of these guys putting in stinkers on the weekend at the same time. But it also means that we really need to plan our trades and have enough cash in the bank over the next few weeks to really jump on these guys at the right time. Because if we don't, if we miss it, we could miss the boat completely. And it might mean that we're paying overs for guys because we haven't got them at the lowest price point. So I could potentially do this with a Butters, 154, plays Adelaide, you know, big game rivalry. Has he scored across the journey? 58, 79, 134 against the Crows. So could potentially drop another, you know, 35, 40K over the next couple of weeks if we want to hold out until then. Then he faces Hawthorn and North. So again, going to be right for the picking. Houston is sort of at that price point where he doesn't really appeal. He's got high floor, but his ceiling really has been lacking this season apart from the game against Freo when he scored 121 and then 141 against the Pies. Everything else has been 107, 106, 105, 108, and 114. And those are scores that I don't really want to be paying up for around about that 610K price. So, yeah, I'll be foregoing him for the moment. Hayden Young, I'm still keen on, but I'm worried about, you know, I know he had that hamstring awareness, played out the full game on the weekend, but I have queries about him potentially being a top six defender. So he's down the list a little bit as well. Shea Bolton, he's put in stinkers really across the journey and did in the weekend as well with a 67. So he's going to be one of my last upgrades, I think, just because the high variability in his scoring. Dane Zorko as well, put in again another stinker. So all these primos putting in stinkers, but again, not confident in his body at all and probably will be my last upgrade overall. If anything, Jack McRae, he only went up 6.5K, but didn't really like what I saw with his role. Scored a 79, faces the Hawks, though, this weekend, and then Richmond. We'll have a quick look at him in good old McRae because what do we see? So his CBAs are kind of in line with his past couple, with 31% on the weekend, compared to 34%, 29% over the previous couple of weeks. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I do think he's going to be a top six forward, but what he's currently outputting with his scoring, is it really that much of a bargain? Yes, but not to the extreme, really, because scores of like a 79, it doesn't really do too much for me. I mean, we have rookies scoring like that in you know, Harley Reid. So, and even Darcy as well. So I don't really, because he lacks that ceiling nowadays that he's had in previous seasons. So he doesn't really strike me as someone that is a must-have at this stage. but he's still on the list. And then there's Liam Baker as well in my watch list, just rounding it out. He went up 3Ks at 489,500, so comparable to McRae. And since he's been in the midfield, so let's have a look at his CBA summary as well. Obviously, he's sandwiched either side of the bye. So in round six, he had 60% in round five, and then round seven on the weekend, he had 48%. So he is in the mid rotation, and he's had 97 and 95 the past couple of weeks when he has played there. Prior to that, a 93 at 140. But I'm really, 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 really worried about this, because this bloke is someone I had in my team last year, I think it was, or the year prior. Used my last trade on him when he was playing in the midfield, and then was promptly shifted to like half forward where he was marooned and didn't score anything near what we wanted for his price point. But I think with what he's outputting, it's probably in line with McRae anyway. So, and McRae's got the pedigree. He's got the mid-forward DPP. Yes, Baker does have that defensive forward DPP, but I don't think there is anyone that I could really use it with. No. But yeah, I guess the question is now, do I use the three trades? So, you know, obviously the two plus the boost, get in a genuine primo of the likes of a Butters, Ryan, Petrarca, English, I'm going to wait on, I said about that, or a Dawson, and then forego, especially in the case of a Petrarca, or a Ryan or a Butters, a bit more coin that I could be saving if I wait a week or two for them. But hopefully, you know, do I jump on them early, hoping that they, you know, can score well? Or do I just stick with the two trades, save my boost, and, you know, bring in two rookies, and then bank the cash for some upgrades for next week? So it kind of might shoot me in the foot short term if I do that. I could alternatively as well hedge my bets and go for one rookie downgrade by bringing in obviously Sweet, and then using some of the bank that I've got here, which is a 236.1k, to bring in someone like a McRae, who isn't a high price primo by any means. But I really think McRae is not going to inflate in his price point, you know, to a big extreme anyway. Like if I don't go for him now, I do think I'll be able to pick him up, you know, sort of around about, you know, 500 or sub 500 or thereabouts in the next few weeks. And you've really got to compare it with other guys that you have in that line. Like, will he be able to outscore, as I said earlier, the likes of a Darcy or a Reed? I don't know. I guess the one benefit with McRae is as a mid forward, he might be able to, actually he can, because I'll be able to swing him into the midfield. And it does mean that I play McRae in the midfield for the time being, instead of having to rely on a Wilsey or a Closey or a Graham. But a lot of this comes down as well to if I can use any loops off the bench as well to loop his score on or loop their score on and bench him if I need be. But I do think McRae is going to be around about a top six forward. So let's have a quick look at that before we wrap things up. We go through VC and C options. We're just going to have a quick look at the forwards if it loads here, which it's taking its sweet ass time. Oh no, there he is. So I mean, the one thing with McRae, his three-round average is a 96.3. So that counts for something, obviously. Inflated as well by that big 123 score. But if we just sort things by three-round average, where does he sit? Oh, there he is. Scroll past him. He's ranked 17 amongst forwards. So not too crash hot. But of other forwards, like there's Heaney, Flanders, top two, top three is Mackay, which is crazy. Jackson's top four, which again goes back to my point, don't trade him. Dane Zorko in five. We're going to discount Himmelberg from the Crows because he's only played the one game and shows that he's got an average of 98. Waterman, 97. Again, crazy. All these key forwards. Charlie Kerno, again, I'll wait on him if I need him. Shea Bolton, shitty score, up and down variability in his scoring. Jesse Cameron, I think, is someone that I'd be keen on. Him and Charlie Kerno. Rankin is another interesting one. Jai Caldwell's another one. He's getting CBAs, but I'd like to see how he's going to play and how many CBAs he gets when the likes of Setterfield and Perkins come back in to that Don's lineup. And then Harley Reid's 16 overall. So I don't know. Like, Let's just have a quick look. So if I was to get McRae in, it would have to be off the back of, like, I could use Williams and use some DPP swings as well. But in doing so, it means I obviously can't use Reed as a loophole option. So, you know, you want to try and get as much of an edge as you can. Yeah, if I was to go for, when I've got 236K, so I could potentially trade out Cadman, who I think has kind of hit his peak. His break-even's 52, and he's made a 160.1K, made another 7.6K, which was a bonus on the weekend. But again, he's scoring between, you know, 50 and 60-odd, apart from a, you know, spike game against West Coast with a 90. So he's probably someone to move on. And if I was to move him on, would I have enough cash for McRae? I would. So maybe that's it. Maybe I'd just be sensible, bring him in. Yeah, just be hopeful that he does stick around as a top six forward, which I think he will be. He'll be on the cusp. If I bring him into my team, it leaves me with 37.3K, which isn't ideal. But keep in mind that if I don't use another trade, and looking ahead, I'd want to target the likes of a Darcy Jones next week from the Giants, who looked incredible. Reminded me so much of a young Josh Kelly. So I could potentially do that. The other option as well, which I'm not a fan of, but we'll just quickly do this. So it means that McRae plays in the midfield, and it means I don't have to play the likes of a Clark, McAuliffe, Will Graham. And I'd need to choose between a Closey and a Graham. Yeah, I'd probably play, like, there's no way for me to loop either Wilson or Garcia on field, but my forward line would look like Heaney, Flanders, Jackson, Powell, Reed, and Darcy, which looks a bit better compared to previous weeks, especially on the weekend when I had to field the likes of Darcy, Wilson, and Garcia. But yeah, I mean, it does mean I forego going down this path, potentially a Garcia or a Rogers. So, you know, let's just say, for example, I was to activate more my boost and get Garcia into my team. Who would it be off the back of? So guys that have made coin, and I think Darcy's got a bit more coin to make. Sam Darcy, that is. Closey does as well. Like, there aren't really any guys that I want to be punting as yet. I mean, there's Williams, as I said. But is it more worthwhile having him? If I was to, sorry, having him on the bench so I can loop his score on, but Williams would actually net us if we go, we'd need to do some DPP swings, but we could go Williams into the midfield, switch Closey or Graham back into the defense, and then we'll switch Wilson from the forward line into the midfield. That then puts Williams up for trade for a Garcia as a forward only. So that would actually get us, let's just do that for the time being, just see what it looks like. So I'm not too confident with Garcia. He, as I said, he could make us 80K if we're lucky. If you can play and keep his spot, not be subbed, knock on wood, please Bevo, don't do it over the next couple of weeks. So if we were to do that, it gives us a 246.6K and puts us in a nice position next week with, as I always say, that upgrade cadence, that trading cadence where we're doing one down, one up, because from here on out, that means we would have used all of our boosts. So we do need cash in the bank to at least give us a little bit of, you know, a step ahead, knowing that we only have two trades to use from here on out every week. So Darcy Jones would definitely come in. He would come off the back of a Darcy or a Wilson, and then, yeah, use the other one as a stepping stone to getting in a Butters or a Petrarca, that sort of stuff. So that will help us. But I just don't know if by going for McRae now, it kind of shoots us in the foot because we'd have more money to work with next week if we just went a double downgrade and, you know, reverse that trade of McRae. So let me just reverse that trade of McRae and see. Well, that'd give us an extra 162 in the bank. So that'd give us 400K going into next week if we wanted to do that. 400K, because that'd literally be an upgrade, but then we'll need to do a downgrade as well for next week. So is the boost better use next week? Because, yeah, we've got all, next week we'd have the boost at our expense. Sorry, my mind is just working in layers here, so apologies if you're trying to work out what I'm doing, but I'm trying to work out the importance of using a boost or saving the boost for next week, and trying to work out those guys that we want to be bringing in. So, you know, obviously Darcy Jones would be one of the trades next week, so another rookie. And then those two trades, plus the 400K I've got in the bank, would allow me to get in virtually two primos next week, which could be, you know, of the ilk of a Butters plus a Petrarca. So let me just switch things around again. We'll bring, I think, Cadman back in, or no, Williams potentially, because Williams is probably one, as I said, that has a bit of use for us this round, especially with that loophole off the bench. So I think, yeah, McRae, again, like I said, I don't think he has that big game in his arsenal as often as what he did previously. So that's the one real worry. So if we were to do that, that gives us a touch under 400K, 398.6. Williams is obviously be one to go next week. He'll be a stepping stone to someone like a Butters. And then who would go down to Darcy Jones? It would be, like I said, it'd probably be Sam Darcy. Keeping in mind as well that Darcy should again go up in price. So he's got a break even of 41. Should go up another 15K potentially. That would be, 325? So it'd be an extra 200K on top of the 400K we've got in the bank. So what's that, 600K to then spread across my next two trades for next week, which then would be, if we try and split it, you know, 300K each, one goes on top of the head of Zach Williams. That would afford me Butters, potentially, because Butters, that's me. Yep, will go down in price again. So that trade I could do in one. And then the other trade with the other 300K would be potentially a Petrarca. So it really does beef up my midfield in 1 week. So 300K, I'd need someone of the roundabout of a price of 290, which could be anyone. Could be a Graham, could be a Closey. So I might go down that route, I reckon, and just forego McRae at this stage and just go a double downgrade. Go the long game, and hopefully with Williams, if Williams scores well enough, what we're going to be doing is, that'll pretty much complete my midfield as well, because Butters, Petrarca, and after that, obviously there's English as well. We need to sort of work out how to get into our team. But that'll be one sweet maxes out in price. And hopefully Naismith as well. If he can go up another, you know, play another 2-3 games, go up 100K, that's really going to serve us well. We can trade him out for a Livingston and then really utilize that DPP switch with Jackson if need be. And then sweet, we'll go to English. So it's a bit of a longer game play here with English into the team via sweet, but is what it is. And yeah, if William scores well, as I was saying, I think I've worked it out now. What I'd be doing is switching probably a Graham. Graham. We would obviously put Zach Reed. We'd loop on Zach Williams a score. And it means that we've got Roberts in the midfield, which I'd be more than happy with and probably be keen for that to happen anyway. And then I would have to bench one of Closey or Wilson. And if one of these guys doesn't play, or even both, it means I'll be able to hopefully loop someone's score off the bench. So Wilson plays fourth game of the round. Yes, it will work, I think. Oh, yes, it will work. So if Clark is not picked, hopefully, fingers crossed, he's not. Or even with McAuliffe as well, if he's not picked, it's going to work well because then I can loophole Wilson's rookie score off the bench if he scores well enough. Otherwise, I'm backing Closey because Gold Coast play the last game of the round. So that works well. And I think with the forwards there, I'd be happy enough to leave things as they are with, you know, obviously Heaney, Flanders, Jackson, Powell, and then Harley Reid and Sam Darcy as well is scoring well enough. So, yeah, I think I'm kind of in a position now, having spoken through that. Apologies, it's gone for a little bit longer than probably what it should have, but and hopefully it all makes sense. But let us know your thoughts in the comments section down below as well as to whether or not you would go down this route and play the longer game in order to get both Butters and Petrarca next week in one go. And really set up your, I guess my midfield's going to be complete then. And I'm going to have to try and find a way and kind of assess things. I think if, you know, there's going to be a luxury trade that's needed to be used on Steele if his fitness doesn't return and his form doesn't return, I might have to try and target a Matty Rowell into my team. But outside of that, pretty happy with it. Also need to keep in mind that I need to try and make money to get Ryan into my team. So I may not actually go for a Petrarca and a Butters. I may go for maybe a Butters, pass up Petrarca, and then go for Ryan instead of Petrarca. I'll have to sort of keep my options open. But outside of that, yeah, pretty happy with it at the moment. A little bit at ease. At ease, anyway. That's probably the one way to say it. But anyway, let's just quickly roll through my VC and C options here. So what I will be putting the VC on, as I said, Walshy scores pretty well against the Pies historically. He's only had a decent score in one of his past three games against it, but should be hard fought. And we'll have a quick look as well at DFS Australia, because you want to look at defense v position. So let's have a quick squeeze. Last five games. And the Pies, they have a slightly negative correlation to opposition mids. So that's very, very interesting. So maybe not a Walshy. Next up we have, you could always go Butters potentially against Adelaide. Should have a good game against them. Of course, Heaney up against the Giants. He would probably be my standout VC option, and I think a lot of people would agree. He scored a 141, 82, and a 54. Obviously not playing in the midfield during those games. But yeah, it'd be interesting to see if Parker returns, which I think he probably will. By all reports, he played pretty well in the seconds. So if anything, I'd probably put the VC on him. I definitely wouldn't be rolling with the C on Heaney. So we put the VC on him for now. And let's have a look at Supercoach Plus, if there's any projected big scores that we need to sort of cross-check. Miller, Gold Coast play Brisbane. He usually, I remember the tagging games, he used to tag Zorko. They've got that the history against each other. But off that big game in the weekend, should fill him with a bit of confidence. He's only scored a 99, 157, and only 157 and a 106, but not as confident on him. Sheezel against the Saints, who give up bulk points, he would actually be a very unique option, but Sheezel was getting a few CBAs on the weekend as well, which kind of gives a bit of the heebie-jeebies to me. But yeah, St Kilda give up bulk points to opposition defenders. So as you can see there, by far and away the most to designated kickers and general defenders and even wing defenders. So could bode well. Don't mind that pick potentially as well. If you don't have a Heaney, you could go for a Sheezel. Nick Martin against West Coast. And West Coast give designated kickers a bit of a negative correlation there. Positive to general defenders and wing defenders, negative. So I would probably go with that for now. In terms of Cs, probably speaks for itself. Like Maxi Gawn in supreme form here. Has scored 135, 98, 92 in his past three against the Cats. And he's got a projected score of 148. And the Cats, they give up a positive correlation to opposition rucks. Seventh best team to play against if you're an opposition ruckman. Which probably only need to give Gawny a slight look in, and he's still absolutely smashed you. So I might go down that route of going Heaney, potentially VC into Maxi Gawn. Otherwise, I'd be keen to go Sheezel into Gawny. Or Miso Gawny. There's also, of course, Bont against Hawthorne. Has a little bit been a little bit out of form, but will bounce back. He's passed three against them, 136, 122, and a 115. So incredible form line there against them. So yeah, he is obviously always someone to look at. Sarong plays Richmond. Like I said, the Tigs, they give up a fair few points to mids. So he is someone, I think they give up the, what, fourth or fifth most, which came in a little bit off the back of the weekend because they actually didn't concede too many points to the Ds, to their credit. So they were actually better or worse in this case. He is always an option as well, is Sarong, especially coming off that 140 odd. So don't mind him. But that's pretty much it, ladies and gents. Before this runs way out of time, let us know, as I said. I do appreciate your thoughts and opinions when it comes to my trade. So let me know what your thoughts are. Should I go for a single downgrade and then one upgrade of, say, Tua McRae, who's kind of at this stage, like, yeah, it could be a top six forward, but is he someone that could really outscore the likes of those guys I have in field already in Sam Darcy, Harley Reid, and a Tom Powell? Or do I just go with the double downgrade that I'm doing now by bringing in Sweet and bringing in someone like a Riley Garcia or a Jake Rogers? And then, of course, there is other scenario of using two downgrades and then using my last boost to then upgrade to bring in someone a bit earlier, like a Butters, Petrarca, all those guys that are probably going to lose anywhere between 15 to 30K over the next week or two. Do I forego that extra cash savings in order to get them into my team a week earlier and hope that they bust out a nice score to get that scoring edge? Or do I go for someone like a Dawson, potentially, and that sort of eats up a lot of the cash that I have in the bank? Will Dawson be a top 8 mid? I don't know, but keeping in mind as well, I only have two spots left in my midfield, which I've kind of earmarked. Butters is 100%, he is in. Petrarca, I'm very keen on, probably 75-25, and Dawson's probably at this stage, I reckon, around about a 33% chance, so in my eyes anyway, of being a top 8 mid. But does have the pedigree as well, so I don't mind that as another option. But anyway, let us know your thoughts. Playing the long game here potentially and getting in two big primos next week to complete my midfield. So let me know your thoughts. And again, if you have any comments, questions with regards to your own team, let us know as well. And we really do appreciate your time, tuning in and giving us a bit of love as well. So thank you so much, and we'll catch you on the next episode, which is the weekly episode proper, which will be dropping on Tuesday as per normal. So we'll see you then. Thanks again for tuning in. Cheers.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend. Winning is an everyday mindset. And we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for ways to win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.